Greetings, everyone. It is now time for Marked Safe, tales of your very favorite and most beloved man-made disasters. On Marked Safe, we discuss events and details that some may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Please listen responsibly. And now, here with your hosts, Brianne and Melanie, this is Marked Safe.
Hi, Brianne.
This is going to be a weird episode, isn't it? There's a vibe that is flying around this microphone tonight. We've already been talking for 30 minutes and we usually get down to recording in a couple minutes.
Hey, we like each other.
We do. And your episode is a little non-traditional.
It's non-traditional.
And I'm saying this to the woman who did a two-part Britney Spears episode. Non-traditional by those standards.
You know what? It's the last episode of the year.
I think that the mood is slap happy.
It's the whole mood. It's a whole mood. You ready?
Maybe. I slightly know your topic because you emailed me your sources with the topic in the title, and I was like, oh, shit.
Literally.
Okay, I'll let you lead that one in.
All right, well, because I'm an absolute juvenile, and for shits and giggles,
oh, Melanie,
I'm covering my favorite poop disasters.
Okay.
And I told you this, I cannot think of a better way to wrap up this shit year with a shit episode.
Yeah, because I was like, you know, we could, like, take a week off. It's Christmas. Most podcasters are. And you were like, yeah, no.
I basically threw a tantrum and I'm like, no.
And you're like, no, I have a very on-theme disaster to close this year with.
2020 so let's record. Has been very shitty. So we're going to talk about shit.
All right.
So
I'm here for it.
Initially, I was going to cover one particular Dookie disaster.
And then you just couldn't stop.
I couldn't stop. I was like, man, okay, that's pretty crappy of me to exclude some of these fine fecal stories that I keep running across.
And is this at all related to your pregnancy constipation you're dealing with?
Y'all, the audio guy saved my ass last night. The doctor gave me some vomit medicine and, you know, audio guy had to tell me, well, yeah, just makes everything not work.
Yeah, the audio guy is normally the RN guy when he's not taking our ums away.
I love that I can just sit there on the toilet and be like, hey, I got a medical question.
Oh, it really adds something to it, knowing that conversation was on the toilet.
Yeah, I probably could have, like, directly messaged him, but we're family, so you have to get all that.
I mean, yeah, he would have just been telling me, Melanie's messaging me about her poop problem, so I would have known anyway. And I had approached him with 3 different medical questions for people in our mom group within 24 hours at that point.
Aw, he's the best.
Yeah, he's a keeper.
We have to keep him. All right, so yeah, I've got a couple stories. I've got 3 stories for you.
Okay, I can deal with this.
This is my caca compilation.
Oh, I feel like I'm in for a lot of this.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready to doo-doo this thing?
Oh, Jesus Christ, Melanie. You're fired. No, I'm kidding. I can't even say that. I can't even joke about
you
that.
You have to fire me at the end of this episode.
I feel like that defeats the purpose.
I'm going to go out with a bang.
Okay. No, I could never fire you, but God bless it, I might want to soon.
Trust me. This is good. I promise.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to trust in you.
So this first shit show takes place every year, beginning in the month of October. It's not a holiday, a festival, or even a celebration. It's something absolutely craptastic. Every year in the city of Rome, it's faced with a real-life horror movie as millions of birds turn the sky dark and the ground speckled with poop.
Ew, what a bunch of dicks.
These birds are total dicks. You just wait.
I don't really like birds.
I know you don't. That's why I put this one first.
I think you have a list somewhere of things I don't like.
It's true.
It's long, admittedly.
All right. So about 4 million starlings migrate to Rome from Northern Europe every year. The city is nice and warm compared to the countryside, and these starlings, they have no intention on changing their venue anytime soon. There's so much poop. You just type in a couple keywords into your search bar, Rome, starlings, poop. Click images and prepare to either vomit or be completely blown away by the amount of destruction these tiny ass birds do.
Okay, well, I have to.
Do it. Do it!
I would be remiss.
I love that you accept my challenges.
Hell.
Right? It's okay, so much.
The first thing that comes up is a Shutterstock image of a car. It says, car covered in bird droppings, stock footage video, 100% royalty free. It's a 28-second car clip, and it's $52. No, thank you.
Oh my gosh, there was a Shutterstock. So when you mentioned the other day that the photo might be, what was it, $5,000?
Something like that.
I came across that in one of my doo-doo episodes today. It was like $2,000 for a Shutterstock picture.
Jesus Christ.
I'll tell you which story it is when we get to it.
Okay.
Yeah, these birds, they're so tiny. They're like, they can fit in the size of your hand, but as you can see in the picture, like, that's a lot of doo-doo for a very tiny, tiny bird.
Yeah.
So, basically, they shit all over the cars, all over the windshields, which is obviously dangerous as fuck for, you know, you're driving and you just have all these birds shitting on you. You got 4 million birds over your head crapping. It's so many birds. It's freaky. The roads are so saturated that you had these workers in hazmat suits power washing them. Which, if it wasn't bird poop, I would totally do that job because power washing is so...
Oh my God, I know.
Do you watch the videos?
On TikTok, I do.
Oh, I love it. Cody just bought us a power washer this year and it's like...
take videos.
I will make videos. We've been talking about doing...
it's warm all the time, so you could do this anytime. You don't have to wait.
I know. It was in the 70s today. Loved it.
Shut up. Just shush.
Okay.
Back to your poop story.
All right. So, the roads are covered. There's so much poop. Power washing. Also, I don't know if you saw any of these pictures, but there's a ton of pictures of people eating shit, just like minding their business, walking in the... Yeah, they're like, no, not literally eating it, like falling down, Brianne.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even mean that pun.
I was about
pun.
To quit. Oh, my God.
I did not even mean that pun. I meant, like, they're walking and they fall down.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was about to quit this job.
Don't quit, please. No one in my episode eats poop.
Okay.
Intentionally.
Well, that helps.
Okay.
Settling in.
All right. So locals, they've adjusted the best they can. You know, it happens every year. So if you're in Rome and you see a bunch of people walking around with umbrellas on a seemingly nice day, you better run for cover.
I will never go there. In that time. I bet that messes up their tourism a lot.
Oh, gosh. And can you imagine, like, I'm a big fan of traveling when it's not peak season.
Yeah.
For the discounts. Can you imagine,
yeah,
like.
There's a limit.
But you don't know. And you're like, oh.
Yeah,
October
should,
in Rome.
Look into that.
Well, this is cheap.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
So you may be wondering what these starlings eat, because, you know, that's how you make poop. They're omnivores, and their diet usually consists of insect seeds and fruit. They're definitely not going to turn down a floor french fry. They kind of sound like seagulls a little bit, like as far as they'll just grab what they can, you know?
I don't like them.
You don't like them?
No, they poop too much.
Yeah, it's like my kids, too. They'll eat floor french fries, and they poop a lot. Yeah, they're those kind of birds. When it comes to the fruit they eat, starlings have been seen devouring the fermented variety.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Are they drunk? Is that why they're pooping everywhere?
One of my favorite things about doing this podcast is I am always learning something new.
Oh.
This week, I learned drunk birds are a thing. Did you know drunk birds are a thing?
I do now.
It's a really common thing. So because freezing and thawing cycles turn berry juice into alcohol and the birds are none the wiser, it is totally not uncommon to have a bunch of drunk-ass birds doing a bunch of drunk-ass bird things.
I don't know. That actually sounds really fun, like being a drunk bird. I don't know. I'm very drawn to that thought.
I wonder.
I like it.
What the give and take is, like when birds run into windows. Like, is that why? Because it happens way too much for it to be just, you look like you can go through there.
I don't know. That's just a very freeing thought. The thought of just being a bird, and you don't have anywhere to be, you don't have anything to do, you can do whatever the fuck you want, and what do you want? You want to get drunk on berries.
And poop.
And shit on stuff. I mean, I don't like birds, but I have to respect how much that is truly living your best life.
It is. Guess what?
What?
Starlings aren't shitting in the streets because they're basic bird wasted.
They're not?
Nope. They're just dickheads.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They can't blame their shitty behavior on being drunk. Because unlike other birds, starlings have these alcohol-splitting enzymes that allow them to break down alcohol very quickly. It's like their superpower.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Alcohol dehydrogenase that starlings have is 14 times greater than in that in humans.
Interesting. I have that with caffeine. There's a certain genetic mutation you can have where caffeine doesn't, like, you metabolize it at warp speed, so it basically doesn't do anything.
That's terrible. That sounds awful.
It is. I thought people were lying to me my whole life about caffeine, like giving, like, coffee giving them an energy boost or whatever. I was like, that's in people's heads. Like, that is purely psychosomatic, but it turns out I'm just genetically immune to caffeine.
I'm sorry, Brianne. That sucks. Well, yeah, the birds, they're immune to the booze. They just, wow. They can handle their alcohol.
Wow, the one excuse they might have had.
Nope, they're just assholes.
Someone went and tested their shit and proved it wrong.
Mm-hmm. So the annual swoop and poop has been going on for years and years.
Are you guys gonna cut that out?
Just no, laughing. We're not cutting anything out.
Oh god, no, we have to.
Nope.
My audio waves look crazy right now. Melody, you gotta prepare me.
No, it's not holy getting shit. Cut. I loved it.
God bless it. Okay. Okay. That was bad. Okay, go on.
All right.
I'm okay.
I'm afraid to even start over, because is it going to get you again?
I mean, you just said it so casually. There were no no cues that was coming.
Don't you know me yet?
I guess not well enough.
Oh, all right.
Okay, go on. I'm a professional.
No, you're not. I'm not
yes,
either.
I am. No, I am.
We're talking about poop right now.
You're talking about poop. I'm listening.
All right. Me, 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 me. All right. So, it's been going on for years and years. God damn it.
I didn't do this. You did this.
I hate this.
We're losing listeners right now. Right now.
Okay.
Well. We might be gaining one, but we're losing three.
It's our target audience. All right. I think I'm ready.
Okay. Cool.
So.
No, you're not. I knew you weren't. The last time you did this, it was about shafts.
Okay, I swear I'm ready.
You're out of control.
We just started, man. Ugh. Okay, seriously. Okay, I am ready. The citizens, they're trying to mitigate the problem, and nothing is working.
Very professional word. Nice.
Thank you.
Nice comeback.
It's all about balance. I'm not gonna make it.
You're not. You're not. No, we just lost three more. Okay. I'm calm. Listen. I'm trying
to talk about natural predators, which is no laughing matter.
I'm wearing a suit right now, Melanie. That's how professional I am.
Okay, I like it. Well, starlings have starlings, they have natural predators. Did you know that?
Yeah, me, because I don't like them.
The peregrine falcon is their natural predator.
It's a hobby of mine, very specific hobby of mine, taking sides in wild animal beef.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you got the starlings or the falcons?
I'm going to go with the falcons on this one, and I don't typically side with falcons in disputes like this, but fuck those starlings. I'm going falcon here.
All right. Well, this is terrible because the reason why there are so many starlings is because the falcons, they almost completely died out because humans can also be pretty careless shitheads too.
Oh, of course.
So DDT is a heavily used pesticide and it really took an environmental toll pre-1970s. In the case of the peregrine falcon, the pesticide caused the eggshells of would-be baby falcons to be incredibly thin and easy to break. So they they didn't even have a chance. On the clutches of extinction, DDT was eventually banned in Italy in 1978, and the falcons gradually made a comeback. But
this episode is an emotional roller coaster.
It is. They came back, though. They're not extinct. Okay. So they're back. The predators are back. But let's be realistic. They've been low in numbers. They're almost extinct. Starlings clearly have been having a lot of sexy time, which are producing a lot of babies.
Oh.
Yeah. So the number of them is just so staggering for these falcons. Like one cannot eat a whole bird buffet. It's not happening. Yeah, they're just out of control. The birds are out of control. Fun fact, a major factor in the comeback of the bald eagle here in the States was also because we banned DDT.
I don't like bald eagles.
You don't like birds.
I don't, but I do have a lot of particular feelings about particular birds. And I think that there was some... for some reason, maybe I think it might have been one of the founding fathers who said that eagles are birds of bad moral character. I agree.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up. Who said that? Hold on.
I want to know.
Eagles. It's probably some show I saw on a meme once. It is not. Eagles, bad moral character. Benjamin Franklin.
All right.
Let's see. It looks like there's a lot of, like, is it true or is it a myth kind of articles, but I'm not immediately clear on whether it is true or a myth. It says, let's see. Oh, damn it, it's a myth. The story about Benjamin Franklin wanting the national bird to be a turkey is just a myth. This false story began as a result of a letter. Oh, no, the part that I care about is actually true. a letter he wrote his daughter criticizing the original eagle design for the Great Seal, saying that it looked more like a turkey. In the letter, Franklin wrote that the bald eagle is a bird of bad moral character. He does not get his living honestly. He is too lazy to fish for himself.
Doesn't that seem kind of appropriate for our national bird?
Listen, you went there, not me, but yes.
I ain't scared.
So I do share his opinion on eagles. I think they're bad boys. And I know that I don't care about their comeback.
Okay. Well, there you have it, guys.
I have a lot of hot takes in this episode.
Well, another effort to evict starlings from Rome were stationary megaphones that would play on repeat recordings of the starling distress cry.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. But the starlings got so used to hearing their own shitty voices warning them to leave, so they just decided to stick around. It's like a
imagine
boy
if you just had to listen to our podcast just played in loudspeakers every second of your life.
Yeah. It was basically a boy who cried wolf situation. Like, the cry that is being played is, there's danger, get the fuck out. And they're like, what? No, there's not.
Oh my god.
Isn't that so funny?
I can't even process that. Yeah.
So
it is.
That's when Rome sees the formation of the Starling Stalker Gang.
Oh.
I'm not entirely sure that's what the group is actually called.
There's twists, there's turns. This episode has it all.
Okay. So you remember last week when I was bitching about hitting my reading limit on a Wall Street Journal article?
Yes.
It was this particular one. And it probably has my favorite line from any article covering this. It says, quote, Giovanni Albarella won't back down from a street fight, even though he's always outnumbered.
Damn. Wow.
He won't do it, Brienne.
He won't.
Giovanni. Not back in town. So Giovanni and his gang roam the streets with megaphones, herding starlings from one place to another. They've got a tip line for residents and everything. They even altered the screeching starling distress call so it's even more effective. Not everyone loves the efforts of the Starling Stalker Gang, though. One resident said, quote, those megaphones are scarier than the birds. It's a funeral sound that seems to foretell of deadly events.
Jesus Christ.
I listened to it.
How bad is it?
Fucking awful.
Oh my God.
It is terrible. I cannot. And they're like walking around at night, like in their suits.
Oh.
These megaphones. I just can't imagine.
I need
like,
to hear it. Do you have it somewhere?
Okay, so here it is. Can you imagine just watching TV, minding your business, about to doze off in your favorite chair? You got Giovanni and his gang walking in your street.
I mean, yeah, I have a 4 and a 5 year old, so I can imagine that pretty clearly.
I wish I could find theirs is like, that's not the tweaked one. That's just the normal distress call. The one they have is like 2 or 3 of those like layered on top of each other.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's terrible. You know what it reminds me of? Have you ever heard those... The Aztec death whistles. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't think I do.
So it's basically like, it's like this little whistle that they blow. It's like a ceremonial whistle. And I think they've even said they used it as during like war, you know? I wish I could remember the actual. No, there's like an actual term that they use. Where, you know, like when you turn music up really loud and you're like trying to torture someone, like what kind of warfare is that? You know what I'm talking about?
Like not psychological, but like
I think that is. I think it is psychological, is how the last article I found on that. But it's basically, it sounds like someone screaming, like a human screaming, but not like a party, like woohoo screaming.
Yeah.
But
no, like distress.
Not even distress, like the worst terror that you've ever been through in your entire life. Oh, it is
Jesus Christ.
Awful. That's what it reminds me of. Like, just no. I don't want any of that. That doesn't really work either, obviously, because they're still having this problem. Some people, they just do the old-fashioned thing and they take their pots and pans outside in the street and whack it. And hopefully, like, they'll just go, like, get out of here. I know this episode is specifically about poop, but for the sake of throwing in a classic disaster into the mix, I'll tell you another shitty thing that these starlings did in Rome.
Okay.
They took out a plane.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh. On November 10th, 2008, passengers on a Boeing 737 heard a huge bang as it was trying to land in Rome's Ciampino Airport. Shortly after, their plane started to violently shake and the cabin began to smell of fire.
Oh, no.
Looking out their windows in horror, blood and feathers painted the fuselage of the aircraft, some even witnessing flames coming out of one of the engines.
Oof.
Ryanair Flight 4102 had suffered multiple bird strikes. As the plane was descending, starlings clogged one of the plane's engines. The pilot, he tried to execute a missed approach, which is basically when something unexpected happens when you're trying to land and you just kind of like ditch that and just kind of go around for a new landing. Like you're just going to try it all over. So as a plane is down one engine and preparing for this new landing, a new flock of starlings is sucked into the second engine.
Oh, no.
Flight 4102 ingested just under 100 starlings total. Passengers described the emergency landing as, quote, slamming the aircraft down. The plane skidded down runway 15, flattening the landing gear on one side. It's crazy to me. Only two cabin crew and eight passengers received minor injuries, but the plane was, like, demolished. It was beyond repair.
I mean, I'm sure.
You remember when we were talking about roller coasters? Like, where do roller coasters go to die?
Yes.
Like, what happens to them?
I wonder.
I wonder what happens to planes.
I feel like that's something your husband should know.
I should ask him.
You should.
Yeah. I do have a tail boom in my garage from a helicopter. It's like when you see the helicopter, the big butt of it. You know, the long pole, and then it has the rotor blades on the back. I had that long pole. It's like cut in half. I want to make lamps out of it. It's been like, I've had it for years.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I've got a couple helicopter parts. I have a rotor blade that my daughter took to show and tell, which was a disaster. Did I tell you about that? I think I posted it on my Facebook.
I think you posted it somewhere.
Yeah, she was, by all means. It was her first show and tell. She was very nervous. She's in first grade. And she decided that she wanted to take this helicopter tail rotor blade. And of course, Cody is so proud, right? And so he sits down with her. They come up with a little speech. She learns how it works. And then we send her off to school. I pick her up. And
this is your oldest, right?
Mm-hmm. She's seven. I pick her up and I ask her how it goes. And she said, it went great until my teacher asked me a really weird question. And I was like, well, what's that? And she goes, she wanted to know where I got the tail rotor blade. And I was like, what did you tell her? And she said, I told her that there was this helicopter, it was flying.
Oh my God.
And it got hit by lightning and it crashed, but it was okay because my dad saved the pilot. And as a trophy, they gave him the tail rotor blade. And I guess the kids, like, stood up and clapped and cheered. Like, oh my God.
Oh, did you ever get a call from the teacher?
She never called me. I just
let it. Oh, so she probably thinks it's true.
Well, I mean, even if she doesn't, I mean, if you're going to, like, take that much stock into Ava's like me, I feel like, where I was like, why did you tell her that? And she was like, I didn't want to disappoint anyone. And I'm like, and I had to tell her, I'm like, babe, it is okay to be wrong.
Are you trying to tell me that all the disasters you've covered in this podcast have been made up?
Yes.
Just so you didn't disappoint anyone?
All those sources?
Yeah.
Came right out my ass.
Damn.
No, but I told her, I'm like, it's okay to be wrong, and it's definitely okay to be like, you know what? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I can find out, especially now today, when we have so much available information out there. Like, just be like, I don't know, I'll tell you tomorrow. So she's gotten a lot better at that. But she has a big imagination, and
she's got a flair for the dramatic.
She's so dramatic.
Hey, you know my what? God. Adelaide, speaking of kids and their flares for the dramatic, she started a little journal where she draws pictures of her nightmares when they happen.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just got a very kind of sort of impressive morbid imagination. We always joke that she's a girl Stephen King. But she's been, whenever she has a nightmare, she draws a picture of it in this book, and she says that way she can get the thought out of her head and into the book instead, which is lovely. Well, my foster daughter's therapist, because it's in-home therapy, was out the other day, and Adelaide happened to have her nightmare journal handy, and whips it out and starts telling her about this nightmare journal. And
oh my.
Yeah, right? And the therapist is like, oh, do you have a lot of nightmares? And she's like, yeah, it's because of my mom's disaster podcast.
Oh, no!
It puts scary thoughts in my brain because I listen to it. And I was like, no, you don't.
Oh, no, God. You
don't. I said, you've heard like 5 minutes of it and it wasn't scary. Stop it.
That is so funny. Ava and Aria, they'll ask me, they'll be like, because I'll be like, you know, I have to go record with Brianne. And they'll ask me, like, well, what are you talking about today? And I'm honest with them, but I sugarcoat it.
Oh, yeah.
So tonight was a lot of fun because I was like, they're like, well, what are you doing tonight? And I'm like, I'm going to talk about birds pooping all over the place.
Yeah, she doesn't even realize, like, she knows generally. I think I said something once. I was like, disasters, like things like tornadoes, but I don't, we haven't even covered a tornado. But I mean, she's like, I've been going back and listening to him again to put in content warnings in the show notes. So I've been revisiting old ones, and she's heard like brief snippets here and there, but she's like, oh, that's my mom's disaster podcast. It puts scary thoughts in my head.
Oh, to my a therapist. Kids say the damnedest things, don't they?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I'm like, stop it, it's not true, Adelaide.
All right, you ready for the next disaster?
Yeah, sure. Give me some more poop.
All right, so from the sky to the seas, let's take a pre-pandemic cruise on a 2,758 passenger ship, Triumph, from the Carnival Cruise Line.
Oh, I've heard of that ship.
Mm-hmm. So Cruise Critic has Carnival's Triumph rating at a 3.5 out of 5 stars, saying, quote, it's loud, with music everywhere. In the main dining room, waiters take breaks to dance to the Macarena or sing Frank Sinatra. Even the spa is noisy, giving its strange location under the teen clubs and basketball court. Your best bet for enjoyment is to embrace the silliness. Go to the Harry Chess concert and whoop it up at the Gender Wars. Boogie down with Michael Jackson in the nightclub.
Honestly, I think that could be a review of any Carnival ship.
Right?
I think that's a review of Carnival.
So now that we know what we're working with, I want to drop one more fun fact about the Triumph before we get into my disaster. Okay. It actually has to do with one of your disasters.
Uh-oh.
You know which one?
I feel like I should, but no.
Costa Concordia.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
Is it Costa or Costa?
I definitely had to look that up at the time. I think it's Costa.
I think it's really, Costa.
I'm very not sure.
I didn't look it up because I'm like, oh, I'll know this. I'll just roll off my tongue. Clearly.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I kind of used to, like, as a listener, I used to judge podcasters a little bit when they're on, like, episode 200. And they're like, oh, I think I covered that, but I don't even remember the details. Ha, ha, ha. I'm like, be professional. Well, now that I'm adding content warnings, I'm back on, like, episode 5. And I'm like, I don't remember any of this. What?
Yeah, so Casa Concordia. So on March 31st, 2012, U.S. Marshals boarded the Triumph at the port city of Galveston, Texas, and informed the captain, this is our boat now, bitch. Just kidding. Oh. I'm almost positive that's not the way it went down. But
let's just leave it that way. I like it.
They did inform the captain that Judge John Froschner had ordered the seizure of the liner due to a $10 million lawsuit filed by the family of a German woman, Sieglin Stumpf, identified as the 17th victim of the Costa Concordia disaster.
Oh.
The lawsuit claimed that the parent company, Carnival Corporation, shared responsibility for her death for not preparing and maintaining proper safety programs for all vessels under its control, including the Costa Concordia.
What was her name? That sounds really familiar.
Sieglin?
Yeah, I mentioned that specific person in the last paragraph of my script on that.
That's so bananas. Yeah, so that's weird. Just bringing it all around. See? Wow. There's some substance to this poop episode.
Mm-hmm.
So 2,700 passengers and their luggage were evicted from the ship while the logistics of it were hashed out. Both sides reached a confidential deal later that afternoon and passengers were allowed to reboard for their 5-day cruise to Mexico. I get that it probably sucked for the passengers because they're like vacation ready, but I actually love that the ship was held hostage. To be held accountable for the Costa Concordia because it's got...
Yeah, you know, there needed to be some accountability on
there
that
was
one.
Like, it was so messy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and they still got their trip, you know what I'm sure they like.
And now they've got a hell of a story.
I really want to know the details. I hate the confidentiality stuff.
Yeah.
Give me the details. All right, so now on to my disaster. Less than a year later, on February 7, 2013, the Triumph left Galveston, Texas with 4,229 passengers and crew for a 4-day cruise highlighted by a stop in Cozumel, Mexico. Sounds like a dream, right?
Yeah.
It was until 3 days later when everything turned to shit after leaving Cozumel. At 5:30 in the morning, a fuel leak caused a fire to break out in the Triumph's engine room. Although the fire was extinguished quickly due to the ship's automatic fire suppression systems, the damage had already been done. The Triumph lost power and propulsion of the ship.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Because of the loss of power, things like air conditioning, elevators, kitchen equipment, and toilets were inoperable.
I feel like, I don't know the details of this, but I feel like I've heard of it because I think it's one of those ones that, like, comes up on all the 5 reasons you really shouldn't take a cruise, because who knows what could happen kind of articles.
I bet it is.
Yeah, I don't know it, but I think I've heard of it.
As the cruise ship drifted helplessly in the Gulf of Mexico, things went bad to worse when raw sewage began to back up in the passenger deck areas.
And one of just pooped over the side, I feel like.
And one of the best things I've ever seen the media do, the Nightmare Cruise, was now famously dubbed the Poop Cruise.
Oh.
The toilets quickly started overflowing and raw sewage was even backing up into the showers. Obviously, passengers were no longer to even stay in their rooms, and so mattresses lined the hallways for people to sleep. Remember how much fun it was, like, building forts when you were a kid?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Who knew this would be a crew survival situation, and that would come in handy. A tent city made with bed linens transformed the tanning deck of the ship into a fresh air communal living center. It was out of necessity only, though, because the lower decks of the ship Now,
you said lower dicks.
Did I?
You did.
I didn't mean to.
You 100% said the lower dicks of the ship, and I cannot let that slide. Because I know that if I do, everyone listening is going to be hitting their go back 15 seconds button going, did she just say lower dicks? So I'm just going to say, yes, you did.
It's like those games where, like, they give you a word and you try to, like, see if you can, like, somehow manipulate it in to your episode. Well.
And your word is always dicks.
I did work at a furniture store once and we played that game. And bench was bitch. So that was, well, it was a lot of fun.
You've done it again.
Dicks. Lower dick. Anyways. The lower decks of the ship now had urine-soaked carpets in the rooms and hallway. So everybody, they moved up to the tanning deck. The tanning deck campout was less than desirable, too. It rained one night, and temperatures dipped to 46 degrees.
Oh, no.
Passengers layered up in cruise ship bathrobes just to stay warm.
Do you think they huddled together like, I think I'm really going to a very Playboy kind of place with this, but do you think they like huddled together for warmth?
God, I really wish someone would make a poop cruise like
movie or book or something.
I was gonna say porn.
Okay, yes, that too.
Minus like the feces.
Well, rule, but like, is it 32 34 34, rule 30, you know about rule 34, right?
What's rule 34? I feel like I should. I'm a dirty person.
You should. Rule 34 is an internet maxim which asserts that internet pornography exists concerning every conceivable topic. This concept is commonly depicted as fan art of normally non-erotic subjects engaging in sexual behavior.
So I want cruise ship tent city.
Well, I mean, per Rule 34, it's probably already been made.
I'll take that challenge.
Enjoy yourself looking that up later. I'm sorry, Aunt Veda. Tell her to skip this one.
I will. So, if you're a curious bunch like me, and you just have to know...
if it's porn? are you going to link that in our show notes?
Oh, the trigger warnings.
Oh, God. Actual porn.
Oh... You're curious.
I'm professional. I'm wearing a three-piece suit, Melanie.
Okay, Giovanni.
And I never back down from a street fight.
Never.
I'm not okay.
Well, I was just going to ask if you were curious, like, mm-hmm. where they went to the bathroom. Because there's 4,000 people and no toilets.
I feel like I've already guessed it, though.
No, you guessed wrong.
Okay. Oh, damn. Okay.
Okay. They use the bathroom in a bright fire engine red bag that was marked with hazardous waste symbols.
Hold on. One bag, they all...
They each had a bag.
Okay.
Yeah. Woo. But it was a literal shit bag.
Wow.
They had a poop in a bag. Can you imagine going poop in a bag?
I'd rather not, thank you.
And where do the shit bags go?
Where?
They also go in the hallway. Bettina Rodriguez said, quote, just on our deck alone, there were Biohazard bags lined up across the floor. It was repulsive.
I'm sure it was.
Mm-hmm. Drifting 90 miles north because of strong currents, the Triumph started listing at 4.5 degrees. What happens to overflowing toilets when a ship is listing?
No, you don't want any listing on a ship full of shit.
Nope. If you said, quote, causing human waste to spill out of non-functioning toilets, flood across the vessel's floors and halls, and drip down the vessel's wall, then you would be absolutely right. Another quote from a lawsuit said that passengers had to, quote, wade through human feces in order to reach food lines where the wait was counted in hours, only to receive rations of spoiled food.
Well, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. The first two of tugboats arrived on February 11th. Because the Triumph had drifted 90 miles north, they decided just to go ahead and bring the ship to Mobile, Alabama. It's the closest place. The trip would take 3 days, the passengers enduring the stink-ass conditions for just under a week. Quote, "We've lived through two hurricanes, and this is worse," said passenger Peter Cass. Poor guy. Yep. They were resourceful if nothing else. For some reason, the ATMs on the ship, besides having exuberant bank fees, also seemed to be mooching off the emergency power source.
Hold on. I think you mean exorbitant, but I really like it being exuberant because that's just like very happy, excited, enthusiastic about being ridiculous bank fees.
I did write exuberant.
Wow. Okay. I really like to think about like an ATM with just like Joe Exotic popping out of it saying, "Guess what, motherfuckers?" Exuberant bank fees.
But it's all like Lisa franked out, like it's like teal blue. Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
And then like neon lights.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Okay.
Continue. Can we give ATMs a facelift, please?
Make them exuberant. Paint them sunshine yellow.
They're going to take my money. I better have a good time.
They'll be having one at least.
So, yeah, they're mooching off the emergency power source, too. When passengers realized this, they unplugged the ATMs and, quote, daisy-chained power strips to charge their cell phones. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Like, it was just... There's pictures of it. It's just like all these cords. So now that the phones were charged and back up running, photos and tweets of the vomit-inducing boat conditions came pouring in, and the news media was sharing it with everybody.
Oh, I bet they were.
As the tugboats pulled into the Triumph into dock,
not dick,
the passengers cheered and sang Sweet Home Alabama. That song will forever be associated with poop for me now. The excitement
probably already should have been.
Yep, it's a shitty song. The excitement quickly faded though, because with only one working elevator, it would take over 5 hours to completely disembark that Valentine's Day evening.
Yikes.
It was Valentine's Day when they finally made it back to dock. Can you imagine?
How romantic.
It's so romantic. So when Valentine's Day rolls around and for some reason or another you're feeling a little bummed, you can rest easy knowing that someone, many someones, literally had a shittier Valentine's Day than you.
Oh my God.
It's the glass half full, right?
Wow. Yes.
And what happens? Oh, so many times in our episode, a major company refuses to take accountability.
No.
Read the fine print on your ticket, people. Ship happens.
Kidding? Are you kidding
me? I'm not kidding. It's not their fault.
Oh, as Adelaide would say, give that 0 stars. She found out about reviews recently because she had saved some money and wanted to buy some Baby Alive shoes for her dolls.
We're Amazon. Not talking about Baby Alive.
Oh, that's a whole other thing. But she wanted to buy some shoes and was looking at some. I said, let's check the reviews and, you know, make sure they don't have bad reviews. And she found out about that whole concept. And now everything that she has, she's like, I think this should have 4 stars because it's pretty good, but
cute.
She'll get on Amazon and give this no stars. That shit that didn't even come from Amazon.
Well, yeah. So no stars.
No stars.
No stars for this, Carnival cruise. Lawsuits, which, trust me, there were a shit ton. They were fruitless. Because when you buy a ticket, it's got all that stuff on there. Like, you're basically just, you're giving away your rights to suing them for pretty much anything.
I wonder if, like, trip insurance would usually cover this. Like, because you can get insurance on a cruise.
That's a good question. I didn't see anything on that. This might be a good thing to look into if you're planning on taking a cruise when you can again.
Oh, yeah. We're diehard about cruise insurance.
Yeah, so they had no ground to stand on, and lawsuit after lawsuit, they were just thrown out. Carnival did feel a teeny tiny bit bad, so they offered each passenger a $500 check, a voucher for a future cruise, refunds of most onboard expenses. I'm assuming they probably excluded the alcohol because that would track for a cruise. And they are awful.
Yeah.
They also offered reimbursement for transportation back to their homes. Carnival Triumph has since had a facelift and a name change.
Well, good God, I would hope it had a facelift after that.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope it still doesn't just have pissy hallway carpets.
Nope. They swabbed that poop deck real nice. Now it's called the Carnival Sunrise. So if you're on the Carnival Sunrise, take
a deep whiff and see if you smell anything.
Yep. There's some history there.
Oh, God, yuck.
All right, you ready for our last one?
Yeah, this has been dreadful and delightful.
I love this so much.
I have a love-hate relationship with this episode.
Finally, we're going to go from one boat disaster to another, but with a twist.
Okay.
There
were some twists in the first one.
While the boat size is on a much smaller scale, the poop is not. So it's the summer of 2004 in Chicago, and it just so happens to be the coldest on record, including the coolest August ever in Chicago's Midway Airport. Without the sweltering summer heat, tourists are really taking advantage of Chicago sightseeing. So it's bustling. A popular way to do this was to board one of many Chicago River cruise boats. The Little Lady Tour Boat was a $1.1 million yacht designed after the USS Sequoia, the former presidential yacht, also known as the Floating White House. Also, did you know this was a thing too? Presidential yacht?
No, and that is a weird niche fascination that I have. I don't know. Nothing sounds right. It's a weird fascination that I have about, not in a partisan way, just like White House day-to-day inner working. So I would like to know more.
Well,
and
good.
What year did you say this happens? I think you said, but I didn't hear it.
2004.
Okay.
So, you know how I hate to waste a rabbit hole? Well, I'm glad that you want to hear more because I have a little more facts about the Floating White House.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, so it was a thing from 1880 to 1977. Like, it was a big thing. Wow. The USS Sequoia was the last of the presidential yacht. And here are a couple facts about the USS Sequoia. JFK spent his last birthday aboard the USS Sequoia.
Oh, my.
Lyndon B. Johnson installed a liquor bar and had movies projected on the main deck. No president loved the USS Sequoia more than Richard Nixon. That dude took over 100 trips on the yacht.
Like his Mar-a-Lago.
Mm-hmm. Which seems real dumb to use as a hideout during the Watergate scandal, seeing as you're always on that fucking boat. Like, we see you, Richard. We know where you're at. Crazy. So, it was the end of an era when President Jimmy Carter finally sold the USS Sequoia in 1977 when he discovered it cost $250,000 a year in upkeep.
Oh.
So, it was fancy.
Wow.
So, you can totally see why the owners of the Little Lady wanted to model their boat after the Floating White House. That's beautiful.
Sure. Yeah.
The Little Lady was 68 feet long, 23 feet wide, and it was operated by one captain and two deckhands that would take care of up to 149 passengers. The Little Lady was the go-to riverboat for architectural tours. It was a tourist favorite. On August 8, 2004, an almost fully occupied Little Lady started its tour. Just under 30 minutes into the tour, something terrible happened. Crossing under the Kinsey Street Bridge, the passengers of the Little Lady were faced with a shitty new reality when 800 pounds of human waste was dumped on their heads.
No.
Yep. After a violent downpour of foul-smelling brownish-yellow waste saturated the tourists standing on the open deck, the Little Lady quickly returned to dock. Look, that is almost a half an hour trip back. and you have 800 pounds of shit that was just dumped on you.
Ew.
There had been a vomit fest going on, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I saw most of the articles that said people were getting sick. So, like, that's what they meant, right?
I mean, I would think, yeah.
It's speculation.
They couldn't, like, if they were going to catch something, it couldn't have happened that fast.
Right, yeah. So, I'm just imagining, like, people covering shit, puking on each other for half an hour. They made it back to dock. Refunds were given, because duh. Some people, just a couple, were taken to the hospital just out of, like, precaution.
Yeah.
Tourist clothes were obviously ruined. I did see that some passengers said that their cars had become soiled on their drive home after the incident. And I need more information about this, too. I couldn't find any. Like, did they hose them off? Like, I imagine they have to have access to hoses on deck, right?
I mean,
the dock.
Not necessarily.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, you couldn't get hosed off that well. I mean, you've driven home kids after getting muddy. You know how it is.
Yeah. I don't know. I even looked at the street view of where you board the little lady. Because I haven't been to Chicago in years and years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no curbside parking or anything where you board. Like, it's a big city. So I'm assuming, like, you're probably in a parking garage? Like, how long is that walk?
I mean, yeah, everything's in a parking garage there.
30 minutes back to the dock. I'm assuming you're walking, like, to a parking garage. Like, and it's not your fault, but it has to feel like a walk of shame. You know what I mean?
No one knows it's not your fault.
No one knows. You just got a bunch of people.
Hopefully they're all headed in the same direction so you don't just look like a single person who projectile diarrheaed on yourself.
Isn't that worse, though? What happens if you're, like, walking and you see a crowd?
That's I'd rather... Well, I mean, as the viewer, that is worse. But as a walker, I would personally rather be in a crowd so it doesn't look like something.
Well, your confidence.
I personally did, yeah.
All right. Ugh. I don't know. But, yeah, and it didn't look like there's, like, any gift shops around to where maybe you could, like, disrobe and throw on a souvenir tee. But, like, you have to drive home. You're still like this. Like, you're driving home and you smell like crap. Brianne.
What?
Put yourself in their poop shoes. What would you do? Like, how would you handle this? Would you just, like...
I mean... The good news about my vehicles is that they're always a total disaster. So I feel like I could probably MacGyver some kind of seat cover so my car wouldn't be permanently ruined. I guess that is what I would attempt to do. I mean, you gotta get home. You can't, like, go into a place of business and try to wash yourself off.
Ugh, can't even imagine.
No.
So... After looking through the surveillance footage, a clear picture of what transpired was starting to take shape. Surveillance from a gym called the East Bank Club showed a parked bus on the Greater Kinzie Street. Clearly, it's this bus that has just unloaded its septic tank on unsuspecting tourists below. All 800 pounds of it. And this just wasn't any bus. This was a tour bus for the Matthews Band.
Ew. Why does that make it so much worse?
I have scoured the internet for these surveillance footage.
God bless America.
I want to see this so bad. Some people want to hear 911 calls. I want to see this happen. When I was digging around for quotes, I found the cutest exchange ever. And it totally reminds me of when we ask Aunt Veda about disasters. So, back in 2004, when the bus incident happened, a staff writer for Entertainment Weekly named Whitney Pastorek did what every good niece does. She asked her Aunt Barbara, who just so happened to work for this specific boat company, for the juicy gossip. Dear Aunt Barbara delivered, and Whitney generously shared with the rest of the world what her aunt had to say.
Oh, gosh.
I'm assuming this is an email. I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
Quote, "Hi, Whitney. Yes, that was one of our boats, but fortunately I was not on that day. 20 minutes into the tour and it began raining poop. There were 120 people on board, and at least two-thirds of them got hit. We're talking hundreds of pounds of slop. No one could begin to guess what hit them until their brains registered the smell. Some passengers were throwing up. Several were sent to the hospitals just to be sure. And yes, they all got full refunds. Surveillance cameras at nearby business helped Chicago police and the Illinois Attorney General trace the bus to Stefan A. Wool, a driver for the Dave Matthews Band. Wool denies doing this, but the Attorney General's office is charging them with violating state pollution laws. Mayor Daley is hopping mad. Can hardly wait to see what flavor Ben and Jerry's comes up with for this. We just booked an Alaskan cruise for next summer. Love ya, Barbara.
Oh my God. I love everything about that.
I hope Barbara had the best cruise ever.
I hope she didn't end up on the freaking Triumph.
No, because this was before.
Okay.
We need to know if Barbara's safe. Barbara, are you safe?
Yeah, that did make me think of Aunt Veda, though. I think it's been too long since we've called out Aunt Veda. Hi, Aunt Veda.
Hi, Aunt Veda.
Although I just said she should skip this one, but
I'll tell her about it.
Hi, Aunt Veda.
So, Barbara, that Ben and Jerry's reference, I had to look up because it was really fucking funny. So in 2002, Dave Matthews Band collaborated with Ben and Jerry's on a flavor called One Sweet World. World, not world, like W-H-I-R-L-E-D. Yeah. So it has a caramel and coffee ice cream with marshmallow and caramel swirls and coffee flavored fudge chips. So some of the proceeds from the collaboration went to, check it, saveourenvironment.org to help combat climate change. So there's that. And now you have their tour bus dumping shit on people in the Chicago River. It's not a good look.
Oh, no.
So musicians, they don't get multiple Ben and Jerry flavors. And I don't know if Aunt Barbara is psychic or if they got wind of her email and decided to accept the challenge. But after the poop bus scandal, Dave Matthews did in fact get another Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor.
No way.
They did. With black raspberry ice cream swirled with sweet cream ice cream and fudgy brownies, the new flavor was called Magic Brownies.
Oh,
I'm not sure fried brownies would be my go-to ingredient after this. But okay.
No, too soon.
It's too soon. It was like less than a year.
Oh, it's way too soon.
Yeah. What's next? But truffles. Anyways. Jesus
Christ. I love Ben and Jerry's, though, in all seriousness.
I'm a Tillamook girl. I love my Tillamook.
What the hell's that?
It's an Oregon ice cream. It's so good. They make cheese. You should be able to get Tillamook. It's the best cheese. It's the best ice cream. I went to their factory once. Oh, it was so good.
I just had a new and temporary Ben & Jerry's flavor the other day, and it was possibly the best ice cream I've ever had.
Really?
Yes.
What was it? I'm going to try it out.
Something about Netflix. Hold on. It's not Netflix and Chilled. Oh, it's Punchline, I think. Yeah, it's called Ben and Jerry's Punchline, which actually is a great segue into the next thing we're going to talk about. And it says it is a comedic duo of brown butter. Hold on, that's a blurry picture. Brown butter, bourbon, and almond ice creams with roasted almonds and chuckles of cherries. And it is...
That sounds divine.
Unbelievable.
That actually sounds really good.
Yeah, those are like my oddly specific favorite flavors. So the fact that they put them together, I don't know.
They made it for you.
I think they did. I think they had to have.
Oh. So... They find out, based on the license plate, that this bus is, in fact, one of Dave Matthews' tour buses. The bus was being used by the band's violinist, Boy Tinsley, who at the time was at a Michigan Avenue hotel waiting to be picked up by his driver, Stefan, to go to their next concert in Wisconsin. On a flight himself to the next venue, frontman Dave Matthews was mid-air when a friend showed him a newspaper article about the poop incident and jokingly said to Dave, quote, "Wouldn't that be funny if it was your bus?" I'm now convinced everyone in this story is psychic.
Oh my God.
Stefan, the tour bus driver, obviously denied these allegations. I mean, who wants to admit this?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing as fuck. And your boss is like the biggest advocate for the planet Earth. Like, I couldn't think of a worse situation.
No.
Yeah. So the band, they fucking believed him.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. So, with the help of what is the modern day lie detector, members of the Dave Matthews Band even offered up their DNA samples to prove those sewer serpents didn't belong to them.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get DNA from poop?
Yes.
Really? Okay. I definitely should know that.
For sure. You totally get DNA from poop.
Okay. I feel like at some point that was like contested or something. Okay, continue.
Now I'm intrigued. Well, they offered up samples. They're like, it's not, we didn't do it. I think he was like, man, this is getting too big. And Stefan finally admitted his dirty deed. In October, the band donated $50,000 to both the Chicago Park District and to Friends of the Chicago River to, quote, begin the healing process.
Oh, the healing process.
Mm-hmm. Let's hug everybody. In March 2005, Stefan pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor charges of reckless conduct and water pollution. He was sentenced to 18 months probation, 150 hours of community service, which were to be served in his home state of Texas. Additionally,
I feel like it should be like people pollution, though, because what happened to the water is not the point.
Nope. He was fined $10,000 that was donated also to the Friends of the Chicago River Advocacy Group. And obviously, he lost his job as a driver for the Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah.
As for the band, they also suffered repercussions from the poop incident. And a month after Stefan's sentence, they settled a civil lawsuit with the state of Illinois for $200,000. And also, Pinky promised to never illegally dump their butt mud again.
But they weren't even there, were they?
Nope. But it's like, they're still responsible. They hired that guy. Like, it's,
I guess, yeah.
It's their employee. It's just like, I don't know. You got a McDonald's person dumping hot coffee on the person. They're not going to sue that person. They're going to sue McDonald's. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
So the settlement money was given to the Environmental Fund. Frontman Dave Matthews vows to apologize for the incident as long as it takes, but also notes that, quote, if Snoop Dogg had done it, it probably would have raised his record sales in Chicago, but it applies differently to everybody.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
What?
Yeah.
I have questions about that.
I do too.
Is he trying to say it's a race thing?
I don't think he's saying it's a race thing. I think he's saying it's like
Snoop Dogg specifically.
Because it's cool.
Okay.
I think he's just saying, like, they're specifically known, like, as environmentalist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess it's true.
And then it was like,
wow. Well, Snoop Dogg should try it and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Apparently it would go great.
But yeah, I thought that was a really strange quote. So that's how I closed it up because, yeah, Snoop Dogg.
You buttoned it up on a high note.
Yeah. That, my friends, is your shitty episode to end the shitty, shitty year.
God, that was actually amazing.
I had a lot of fun.
Wow. Well, speaking of great things, you want to do our new thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So we are going to do a thing, and I haven't gotten a chance to put this through the Melanie of Fire yet and come up with a cool name for it. I think I'm theoretically supposed to be thinking of that myself, but
maybe y'all can help with the name.
We'll see. Yeah, maybe. I like to think of any kind of good but rough idea that I have as needing to be put through the Melanie of Fire, because then it'll get cool and magical and better. It has not gone through the melodifier yet, so I don't know what we're going to call it, but I do think that we're going to...
Let's test run it.
Okay, yeah. We're going to do a little segment at the end of every episode with just a couple things that we are enjoying, like shows or podcasts or books or...
like a palate cleanser. I mean, we've been listening...
Drugs, yeah.
...to shit and disasters for an hour and...
Uh-huh. Yeah, palate cleanser. You know, sometimes we might have the opportunity to plug somebody, which is fun. Cleanse palates. Yeah. So, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Well, I'm not very prepared for this today.
Okay, I'm prepared. For once, I'm the prepared one. For once in my entire life.
There's only one thing I'm super... Well, let's go to court.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, should I say that? Because I'm not listening to any specific let's go to court thing right now, but I would be, like, not myself if I didn't just up front mention my all-time favorite podcast.
Yeah, you recommended them to me, so I've been binging them for the last couple weeks, and I don't think there's a better podcast out there, to be honest with you. Those two, like, you can tell they legitimately like each other. I don't know, like, I just love it.
They've got it all. The research is on point, the banter is on point,
they're funny. You can tell they're not
over each other. They're hilarious.
Yeah,
it's, yeah, as far as,
and their content is so good.
It's so good.
I love it. They're, to me, they're geniuses, because
yes,
they don't walk themselves into
themselves.
No, never. They're super humble. You could tell that, like, they have not walked themselves into a corner. They're not ever going to be in a situation where it's like, I don't want to listen to this anymore because everybody else is doing it.
Has there at some point been some kind of court case about it, which I think even that's a little bit flexible. But
no, they're genius. I love it. That's been... So, yeah, that's the thing I'm loving right now.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I have been loving Let's Go to Court for a long time. So same. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but if there's a new episode that is 100% always number one on my listening sequence. I'm also really enjoying the podcast You're Wrong About. Did you get me started on that, or was it somebody else?
I think it might have been someone else. I haven't started that one yet.
I think it might have been Let's Go to Court. I don't know. I actually don't know where I came up with that one. But it's really good. It's male and female co-host, and it's the title kind of tells you it. They break down things that you're wrong about, like misconceptions about homelessness and the Stepford Wives and Princess Diana, and just things that people have kind of an image in their head of, or a thought in their head about, that is not necessarily accurate. And it's funny and smart and interesting, and I've been really enjoying that.
Ooh, I'll have to check that one out too. Yes,
you should. I think you would like it. I also just started Superstore. I'm a little bit late to the game on that, but I just finished season one and I am hooked.
It's so good.
I'm hooked. I was going to ask you, because I know that you are caught up, except I think you said the most recent season. I was going to ask you, who are you on Superstore, but I don't know if you would remember, like, who the season one cast is. Who are you on Superstore? And if it's someone I don't know yet, I'll listen to this again next year.
What's that chick's name that had the baby?
Cheyenne?
Yeah. I'm Cheyenne's baby daddy.
Oh, Melanie, your beau.
Well, it could be anyone. It would be
him. I love you. I love you. I think I'm Jonah, at least season one Jonah. And I think
I can see that.
I've got some Glenn in me. I'm the queen of This Is Fine. And at least in season one, he is the king of This Is Fine. And that's my vibe. Okay. Also, this is like not a normal podcast recommendation segment thing, but I feel like we've gotten so many cool emails and reviews lately, which, by the way, has been so cool. We've just had a lot of engagement
recently. Yeah, thank you guys.
And I feel like our listeners are people that we would be friends with. So that's my theme with this. It's just things I would recommend to a friend.
Right.
Which could be anything. So since it seems like a lot of our listeners are also parents, I bought the girls these plates.
Those plates are so cool. We'll have to link those too.
Yes, they're called dinner winner plates, and it's Fred and someone. I guess it wouldn't have killed me to be prepared with that since I knew I was going to talk about this. It is Fred. Yeah, okay, I just looked it up and that didn't make it any clearer. It's called Dinner Winner. We have the Enchanted Forest ones, and it has these little cute compartments. It kind of looks like a game board, and it has these little cute compartments that would hold like a bite or two of food, and then at the end it has a little lid and section for like the equivalent of like one Hershey's Kiss or four M&Ms or something. And it's so fun. My foster daughter has a lot of challenges with eating and sort of navigating a whole meal and finishing it. And these have been so fun. And I want 100. They're a little bit expensive, but they're worth every freaking penny.
Yeah, we need
to. If you have a picky eater, problem eater, or anything, like, buy yourself some dinner winner plates.
I have a kid that eats everything, and I wish he would stop.
Well, I was going to say which one, but if it's he, I guess I know.
No, she. It's a she.
Oh, she.
Yeah. Okay. She's my starling.
No. Oh, no.
She's grosser than a starling, though.
Yeah, my foster daughter is the starling around here. That kid poops, like, so much. We say she poops like a Canadian goose. Anyway, my last thing, I have too many things. I really need to kill some darlings and whittle this down next time. But I have a lot that I'm excited about. Is a book called How to Keep House When You're Drowning. And it's by Casey Davis, and I found this because she is on TikTok and has these absolutely delightful videos about sort of the kind of toxic things that we could be a lot of people, but it's usually moms, usually stay-at-home moms, have in our heads about what she calls care tasks and things like cooking and cleaning and laundry and dishes and feeding your kids and all this stuff, and how we have a lot of moral stuff in it. Like if the house is clean and everything's put together, I'm a good mom. I'm succeeding. And
sounds like I need to read this book.
Yes. And if, you know, if this isn't going so well, I'm failing and I'm not a good person. I'm lazy. I'm a bad mom. And that's just kind of in a lot of people's heads. It's certainly in mine. And she has this whole thing called struggle care. And the concept is basically that it's all morally neutral and care tasks are cyclical. It's not like you get everything caught up once and then ideally you should keep it caught up for the rest of your life. It's like the trash can fills up, the trash goes out, the dishes fill up, the dishes get clean. It's just like, it's lovely. It's an emphasis on functionality and being kind to yourself and taking all the weird moralizing out of it that we do.
Just giving yourself some grace.
Yes, yes. And it's wonderful. She's so gentle and kind and nice. She's a licensed professional counselor and she's on TikTok. I don't remember. It's called, I think, Domestic Blisters is her TikTok handle. But she wrote a book called How to Keep House When You're Drowning. It's very, 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 very short little sections that is meant to be read over 31 days. And it is so healing.
I love that it's short little sections that can it be is, broken up.
Yeah, yes. And I mean, some of them are like, most of them are like a page or two long. It's short, sweet, to the point, but it is packed with tips and life hacks and just ways of changing the way that you think about things, because there's a lot of crud in the way we think about care tasks and morality and virtue.
Yep.
And it doesn't serve anyone. It doesn't serve us or our kids or our mental health or anything. And I think that I will have to read this book like once a month for the next 5 years before it makes a dent in this shit that I have built up in my head. But just like certain things have been so like the idea that care tasks are cyclical. Like I feel myself starting to get worked up about I just cleaned this house yesterday and now look at it. And, like, my problems are not fixed by any means. I'm still kind of messed up about this whole concept. It's just my own thing. And I'm like, care tasks are cyclical.
It's like retraining your brain.
Yes, it is slowly retraining my brain. So if that is something that you deal with, absolutely go retrain yours. And then buy some dinner winter plates and deal with the cyclical nature of the fact that you have to wash it after every meal. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Oh, I love it. No, I'm going to have to check that out. And those plates are freaking amazing.
Oh my God. Yes. Like normally, I mean, we have talked to multiple therapists. We've talked to occupational therapy. We've talked to physical therapy. We've talked to speech for feeding about the stuff that she has going on with her eating stuff. There's nothing physically causing it. There's not really even like a direct this trauma did this kind of thing. It just, no one really knows what her deal is. But I mean, it will take her 3 hours to eat one chocolate pancake. It's not like a matter of she won't eat a kale salad. Like, she won't eat anything. So, and I...
Girls gotta eat.
I know. And I've given them like 10 or so meals out of this magic plate now. And she has eaten every single bite with no complaint in like 20 minutes or under per meal.
That's so rad. Yeah,
it's awesome. So, but it does have to get washed constantly because she's getting every single meal out of it. So care tasks are cyclical. And that is all I have to say about that.
Well, I love it. I'll try to come up with some more stuff that I dig.
I'll try to come up with less stuff because I have a lot of stuff in general that I did.
I'm still on major sensory overload from Christmas.
Yeah, I think it would be, I think I might just put Let's Go to Court at the top of my list every week.
Yeah, it's
because that's so how much good. I love that
list. It's so it's
like,
good.
It's why I listen to podcasts. Like every other thing I listen to, that's the yardstick for me is how much do I like it and how good is it compared to Let's Go to Court. So,
and they're one of those podcasts too where it's like you can start from the beginning and they're just so consistent. Like it doesn't feel like they've been doing it forever before they
came
started.
Out of the gates at 100%.
So check them out.
Yeah, we're obsessed. All right. Well, this has been a long-ass episode, so maybe you should go to bed.
I should go to bed. I'm going to try to poop first.
Good luck. Godspeed.
All right. Sweet dreams or no dreams.
Yeah. Sweet poop or no poop.
Hey, Horrible Ghouls. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you would like to share your personal MarkSafe moment, you can send it to us at MarkSafePodcast@gmail.com. Please give our podcast a rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your buddies about us too. That goes a long way. If you want to further elevate your support, check out our MarkSafe Patreon page, where we have shoutouts, goodies, and some bonus content in the works. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again, and as always, stay safe.